consider the work of thy hand, the sun, moon, and stars above. What is a man that thou thinkest of him who is so unworthy of thy love? O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name. Mountains, valleys, all creation tells thy fame. Heavens declare it, all thy wondrous works proclaim.
Read scripture this morning, three very brief passages, so we'll turn to them. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. Matthew 22 and verse number 37. Very first of the four Gospels. This morning's message is not typical of our regular messages because we're going somewhere with it. We're going to talk, this is our next step Sunday. We're going to talk very practically about the next steps of growth that we believe in our church and ask you to think about it and kind of figure out, hey, where do I fit? What do I need to do? And I'm going to encourage you to make any steps you need to make this morning. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37 says, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Hebrews chapter number 12, please. Hebrews chapter 12, a little bit to your right there. We'll read the first two verses. Hebrews chapter number 12. As we read these verses, you're probably going to say, man, what do these verses have to do with one another? I have no idea. I just liked them, okay? We'll kind of try to put it together for you in a minute. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. One more portion, Proverbs 24. Proverbs chapter number 24. We'll look at verse 30 to 32. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 30 to 32. It says, and I went by the field. Sorry, I'll let you get there. When you hear the pages turning, that means not everybody's there. And if I'm reading the verses you're still turning, that means it's like I've done sometimes. I've given you the wrong verse, and you're looking for something I'm reading completely different. But I think we're together this morning. Proverbs 24, verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the few minutes that we have together. And I pray that you just be with us and help us to identify any area in our life where we may need to make a decision. We may need to make a step. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, this is our Next Step Sunday. It's a specific day we do once a year where we specifically try to draw your attention to spiritual growth, moving forward in your Christian life, and in the ways in which we've identified in a church in a very small and uncomplicated way, some things that can help us to get on that track. And so that's what we want to look at. We understand that growth is important. By the way, growth is something that should never stop in the life of an individual. Amen. I'm not talking about weight gain, though, because if that doesn't stop, we're all going to be in trouble here. I'm talking about spiritual growth, mental growth the whole time. Someone has said that when you quit growing, you start dying, okay? And I think that is true. So today's message will be a little different because it's really geared towards our steps of growth, and I want us to get this morning. I've chosen three texts. The first text demonstrates the necessity of our commitment in our relationship to God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and thy mind. The second text illustrates what commitment really looks like. The third text illustrates what a lack of commitment looks like. What I just want to get across to you this morning is this thought. Growth comes in steps. Okay? We all understand that. If you've ever had a child, we've had seven. We have seven grandkids, so we've seen this over and over and over. If you have children, you see it. You're excited. They're little blobs when they're born, and they really don't do much of anything except make funny sounds, and stuff comes out of every orifice in their body. Okay, and you got to clean it up. But they get to that point to where they start to roll over. That's a step. Then they get to that part where they kind of get up on their knees. That's a step of growth. Then they start to crawl. That's a step of growth. And then for your first child, at least, you're excited when they start to walk. Now, if you've been down this road, that's the time you really don't want them to get to. That means they get into everything. But you see all these different steps of growth. And then they start saying words. By the way, what's the first word a child should say? Dada, right? We had seven. Every single one of them said dada with their first word, except for Allison. Her first word was baba. We know where her mind was, okay? but they, we get so excited. Every little step of growth, it's like, oh, how sweet, oh, how cute, all that. But because that's natural. So growth comes when we take steps, but here's what we need to understand today. Steps come when we make commitments. Spiritually speaking, We will not take a step of growth until we commit to taking that step of growth. And many people do not commit to take steps of growth, therefore they do not grow. We need to take steps, and we need to make commitments to those steps. So you will not take steps if you are not committed to taking steps. So let me. I'm going to be very specific in a minute, but I want to look through our text that we looked at. First of all, I want to mention the negatives of not making commitments. That goes back to Proverbs. He goes by the field of the slothful, and he goes by the vineyard of a man void of understanding. What is a slothful man? Someone that's not willing to commit to even take care of his own field. And the picture Solomon is giving is, I walked by this field. You could tell the man was slothful, and he had no understanding. And the vineyard, which should have been fruitful, was overgrown with nettles, which are like thorns and thistles and weeds were overtaking it, and there was no fruit there, okay? He was not committed to taking care of the vineyard he had to see that it would make steps, that it would grow and be fruitful. That's the picture here. What were the results of this, or the negatives of not making commitments? First, the fruit was choked out. You see, that's what weeds do. That's what these nettles would do. Because he had not committed to taking care of the vineyard, the field that was given to him, it was overgrown with all these, for the sake of making it simple, we'll just use the generic term, weeds. And the weeds had overtaken it. And so now there is no fruit growing. There's nothing good going on. They cannot harvest their vineyard because of his lack of commitment to take care of it. Fruit was choked out. Matthew talks about that in chapter number 13 when he gives the parable of the heart and the word of God that's sown in the heart. And different weeds he mentions grow in there, and they choke out the word of God so that the word of God cannot be fruitful and produce anything positive in our lives. So if we do not make commitments to grow, what we are doing is we are ensuring that there will be no spiritual fruit in our life. You're like, man, what is spiritual fruit? What is that all about? That's just the things that God wants to produce in our life. When we're saved and we let God work in our life and we're growing as a Christian, we change and good things happen in our life, whether it's in our attitude, whether it's in our actions, whether it's in everything in our life. Now, how does that happen? Because we're allowing God, because of our commitment to grow, to work in our life, and so the fruit naturally grows. You don't have to get out. If you're trying, if you have a garden, you don't have to get out and yell at your garden to get it to grow, okay? You don't have to get out there and put willpower on it to get it to grow. What you do is you make sure it's healthy, and you give it what it needs to be healthy, and what happens? It will naturally grow. Or it'll naturally produce fruit. And so when we make the commitments to do what we're supposed to, we will have fruit. But if not, we choke out the fruit in our life. If you're a Christian, if you're looking, say, you know, I'm a Christian, I know I'm saved, and things don't seem to be going well, I don't see all that evidence, maybe we are choking it out because we're not committed to growing as a Christian. Very important. Commitment is important for that to happen. But also, I want you to see that the fruit's choked out, but the protection was blocked out. That's the wall falling down. The wall was around their fields to keep the varmints and other things out, which would get into the field and destroy it. The verse in Song of Solomon, take the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. That verse now is talking about marriage, how small things can get into a marriage and kill it. But the application, it is a term that has to do with agriculture. Their little foxes would sneak in there and it would chew at the fields and they would ruin the fields. You know how that is, and you can get, and some of them, they get varmints and some of these little critters and they get in the fields and they destroy the fruit or the produce. Why? Because there's no protection there. And when we're not growing as a Christian, we don't have the protection of God's word around us, the protection of the principles we're learning and putting into our life to keep those negative things out of our life. In the last two Thursday nights in Proverbs, we talked about that. Okay? And so we need protection in our life. We need things that will help us. But it takes a commitment to growth to bring those protections, those walls of protection in our life. Secondly, I want us to see the necessity of making commitments. And that's in Matthew chapter number 22 and verse 37. Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." One thing about Jesus was point blank. Jesus was straightforward. He wasn't one of these guys, he wasn't a guy, he was God in the flesh, but he wasn't someone you asked a question to if you didn't want the answer. I've had people like quasi-counseling message in situations, they'll ask me questions about something in their life, and I'll just say, okay, and they'll ask me a question, I'm like, okay, do you want me to answer truthfully, or you want to hear something cute? Because I'm about to tell you something I know you're not going to want to hear. Well, I don't want to hear it. Then don't ask. Very simple. Jesus told it like it was. It wasn't that he was mean-spirited. He's just like, he was the way, the truth, and the life. And so what's the greatest command? He told us the greatest command. By the way, sometimes some people, they want a preacher who doesn't say anything. They want everything positive. Listen, I'm not Joel Osteen. I don't have his hair. Maybe 10% of it would be good, right? But it takes him a lot longer to get his ready than it does mine. I look in the mirror and say, nailed it again. Okay? Listen. I'm all for being positive. I'm all for the encouragement. But sometimes the Bible tells the truth. And we need to tell, and Jesus told the truth. What was the key word in the verse there? Thou shalt love the Lord the God with all and all and all. You know what all is? All means all. Okay. That means every bit, every ounce. Jesus said, I don't want a little bit of your heart. I don't want a little bit of soul. I don't want a little bit of your mind. I want it all. You know what I call that? No, commitment. Thank you. That's why you probably shouldn't say. Now, there's two words that a guy and a lady sometimes will say in their life that means commitment. What are they? I do. Or oh my. I do. You know what I do means? It means I do to you and I don't to anybody else. That's what it is. It's saying, yes, you're the one. And no, nobody else is. We call that what? Commitment. Jesus wants commitment. That's what he is asking for in our life. If you look in the Bible, we won't spend time on this. We taught a whole series on this summer. Jesus wanted his, if you want to use the word followers to be disciples. And being a disciple had requirements. They would come to him and say, Lord, I'll follow you. He goes, all right, here's what you got to do. And they're like, I'll get back with you next week. Why? They didn't want that. What was Jesus? Jesus saying, listen, if you're going to follow me, forsake everything else. Take up your cross. Follow me. Make my direction your direction in life. He was asking for commitment. And if we're going to be what Jesus wants me to be, or what he wants us to be, we're going to have to be committed. If we want to be a follower of Jesus, as many people flippantly throw out or put on their social media tagline and then post pictures that say, I'm not a follower of Christ, yeah. Thought I'd throw that in there. If you are going to post garbage on, and I'm not, this is just, I thought it's just here. If you're going to post nonsense that's anti-God on your social media, take off on your little tag that you're a follower of Jesus, because you're not. Yeah. Right. That was free, and I probably shouldn't have said that, but I feel better. It just, look, at being a follower of Jesus, being a disciple, doesn't mean I carry a Bible. And you ought to carry a Bible or have a Bible somewhere. It doesn't mean you put a bumper sticker in your car, and I'm okay with you putting a bumper sticker on your car as long as you don't cut me off on the freeway. Or yell at me if I cut you off. Okay. Look, our church, we used to park over here during the week when we're at work because we had no park, and I parked over here, and I was leaving work, and someone cut me off, and I was going to honk my horn. And I thought, man, I'm like half a block from the church and they're going to see my car and think, no, I'm from the church. I can't honk right here. Now, if they'd have done that over my neighborhood, I'd have been all over that horn. Okay, I've got to be very careful here. By the way, you say, hey, remember we used to pass out those bumper stickers, I love Pacific Baptist Church? Yeah. We don't do that anymore. Yeah. I've seen you drive. Okay. But anyhow, back to the message. But look, the point is, if we're going to be truly someone who follows Christ, there's a necessity there. You know what the necessity is? There will be some commitments God asks us to make in our lives. Okay? Number three. And then we'll just practically go over some things. The necessities. And then the need of making commitments. That's in Hebrews. Talks about, he gives a picture here about those who are following the Lord. They're compassed about. In other words, the picture's like they're in a stadium and all these people are compassed. They're around them, watching them as they run their race. And by the way, that's a picture that's given several times in the Bible about us living our Christian life. It's like we're running a race. And that's the picture he's given here. He mentions a few things about it that we need to understand. The thing I like about Christianity and in the picture of us running a race, we're not running a race comparing ourselves to others. Because if you, the Olympics are going on, and I don't really care a whole lot about them, except for the men's figure skating. I am all in on that. Just kidding. I tell my daughter, I said, man, when they do the figure skating, they ought to let some hockey players come out and just body check the guy. Little manhood there. Maybe he wouldn't have his boyfriend with him. I don't know. Anyhow, moving back on here. But the thing about that, if they have those the guys that skate in circles and they're having the race, if there's six guys racing, only one's gonna win. Oh no, three of them get medals. I know, but only one won. Yeah, if you get a silver, that means second place, right? If you get a bronze, that means you won third place. Big deal. But only one out of the six is gonna win. The other five have to lose. See, as a Christian, the picture's a race, but we're not racing against each other or anybody else. You know what we're trying to do? We're racing on our race, and he wants us to finish what we're supposed to do, and that's success. Everybody can be successful. But if we're going to run our race and be successful as the picture gives, there's some commitments that are involved. Look at some of the commitments he mentioned. First, there was a commitment to give up. And let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Okay? Weights are things that slow us down. They may not necessarily be wrong, but they will slow us down. A weight would be if I'm going to run my race eating Taco Bell right before we take off. That's a weight. Is there anything wrong with Taco Bell? Not necessarily, but at that time, that's not good. A weight would be eating McDonald's anytime, okay? But, you know, I could put a backpack on if I'm going to run a marathon. It's a really bad idea. But there's nothing in the rules that says you can't. It's a weight. It slows you down. And the sin, those are things that are wrong, okay? You know, I'm going to cheat. Like, look, if it's 24.6 for a marathon, if I go here and cut around, it's a lot quicker. That's cheating. That's wrong. It's a violation of the rules. So if we're going to run our race, there's some things we need to give up, some things that are wrong. But there also needs to be a commitment to get in. Let us run the race with that is set before us. Do you know, spiritually speaking, God has something for every single person in this room. He's got that life for you. He's got that path he wants you to trod. But you gotta be willing to get on the path and run it. You can rebel against it. You can buck it, but you need to get in. If you're gonna run the race, there's gotta be a commitment to say, I'm gonna get in. And then there's a commitment to go on. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And he talks about how Jesus didn't get discouraged and quit. He kept going on, and we need to go on. Okay? So God wants us to make commitments. Without commitments, we will not go forward. Now, I'm going to switch gears here for a minute. And in the last few minutes, I'm going to be very practical. And I want you to think through for a minute. There are many commitments we need to make in our life as we go through our Christian life. And by the way, it's all the time. And it could be small things. As we grow in our life, you might hear a message about something, and I never thought about that, and that's something that needs to be a part of my life, and I'm going to make that a part of my life, or I need to shore that up in my life. So we're constantly making some commitments. But on the front end, as we're getting going, there are some basic commitments that need to be in order right away. Okay, there are some big stones that need to be thrown in there. Let's get those committed and let's go forward with them. Now, let me mention them here and how we fulfill that and we'll be done. We have our steps of growth. These are just basics to get us on that path as God is working. The first one is salvation and baptism. Now, we put those together, not that the two go together completely. What I mean is this, baptism is not necessary for salvation. We get saved by trusting Jesus Christ 100% as our way to heaven and in nothing that we do. That's salvation. Once we do that, though, God asks us to be baptized. Baptism is like a wedding ring, okay? A wedding ring doesn't make, I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to take my wedding ring off. I have to be careful because when I do, girls look at me all the time and I just want them to know that I'm taken. I have to make sure that hand's in the air. Okay, maybe not. Now, I'm still married. My wife said, still married. Am I still married? Well, that's your fault. Still married. Now, whether I have that ring on or off doesn't make me married. But why do I wear that ring? Because my wife will kill me if I don't. That's why. Tried losing it and she just buys me another one. It's like, forget it. I'm paying for that anyhow. Why do I wear that? I'll tell you why I wear it. Because I'm not ashamed that she's my wife. In fact, I kind of want people to know she is. Okay? It's my way of saying, I'm in. She's mine, and that's the good part. I'm hers, that's the bad part, okay? But it pictures marriage. It doesn't make me married. That's the point. I got married on June 1st, 1985, when I said those two magic words. I'll pray about it. No. I do. This just shows that I'm married. Baptism doesn't save you. Baptism tells everybody that you've trusted Christ. And by the way, and I joke around, but like as I should wear my wedding ring, and by the way, if you're married, you should wear your wedding ring. So I don't like wedding rings. They give me a rash. Then get the rash. Or buy one that's made out of plastic, but have a wedding ring. It would bother me if my wife didn't want to wear a wedding ring, okay? And it would bother me if she was okay if I didn't wear a wedding ring. It's like, good, I don't want anybody to know. But I wear. And so that's the first step that God asks us to take when we are saved to go forward. By the way, I got saved Easter Sunday, 1978. I walked out of the church. I didn't go back to church. I knew I was saved. God started dealing with me, but I wasn't in church. But 2 years later, when I got right with God and I went back to church, they didn't talk. No one mentioned a word to me. As soon as I went to church and I said, I'm in, Lord, I'm like, I got to get baptized. I just knew that's the first step I had to take. And I went down and I did it. And so some of us here, by the way, if you're not saved, you need to trust Christ. Yep. You're not taking any steps of growth until you're born. Yep. But if you've been saved and you've not been baptized, you need to get that taken care of immediately. Baptism. So that's a step that we ask people to take. The second step, so the first one is salvation and baptism. The commitment we need to make is either trust Christ and get saved, or if we've been saved, we need to be baptized. Number two, the next step, we call that devotion. Peter says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2:2. In other words, once we are born, we need to grow in our faith through spending time in the word of God. Babies are grown. You don't have to tell a baby, you have to eat. They cry. They let you know exactly when they're hungry. And they even cry when they're not hungry because babies lie. They want that. They're ready to go. And the Bible tells us we're supposed to desire. So we call that devotion, spending time with God daily in our Bibles, in prayer. So we call that devotion. By the way, you can come to church all you want, and you're supposed to come to church. That's a biblical command that God gives you. But you're supposed to spend time with God alone on your own, reading His Word. Devotion. What's the commitment you need to make? I will read God's word daily. What, 50 chapters? No. But why don't, if you're struggling with that, why don't you commit to 5 to 10 minutes? You say, oh, you would tell people to do that? Yeah. Because you know what the hardest part of it is, Brother Pichardo? Starting. Once you start and you get in there for 5 minutes, you're probably going to go 10 or 15. And by the way, if all you want is 5 and that gets you started, do it. But get in God's word. That's a commitment. When I got right with him, it was just like, I have never read the Bible in my life. I'm 18. I'm behind the eight ball. I'm gonna read it. And I got in. And I read it right away. Read it within 3 months, and I just kept going. Okay? So, devotion. The step number three, we call it adult Bible class. In other words, we want you to feel a part of the church here. So get involved with an adult Sunday school class. I won't spend a lot of time, but the church is more than just coming to a service. You know, the Bible tells us we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves. That's going to the church. But it says, but exhorting one another. It's very interesting. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Huh. We're supposed to get to know people in our church. We're supposed to encourage one another in the church. And it's hard in this kind of setting because, you know, people are outside and you're trying to sneak in and get in. It's in the hallways are like, you know, we need red light, green light. By the way, it's a commercial. That's why we need to get the building done. And so, but I'll tell you where you can meet some people. Come early for the Sunday school class, okay? I have found that someone that will not come to a Bible class, one of two things. They will not stick in a church, which is 99.9%. And if they do, they just don't have as many friends as they could have if they did come. So what's the commitment there? I will attend my, you say, what class do I go to? If you've come here, someone's invited you, go to the class and try that. Number four, membership. And I have verses for all this, and it's in our discipleship, and we went through it, but we're in a hurry here. Membership. We talked about the verse in Hebrews. Joining a church. Now, why do people sometimes don't want to join a church? Here's why. Because when you join a church, it's like marriage. You're making a commitment to it. You know what we want? We want the benefits of something without the responsibilities. That's why this is not marriage seminar, but I'll just throw this out there and see if it sticks against the wall. If you are not married, you should not live with somebody. Okay? First of all, number one, God says that's sin. Number two, it's because why should there be benefits of a marriage without a commitment to the relationship? Yeah. I said this years ago. I thought it was original with me, and I heard someone else say, so, you know, some ladies, you let guys just continue to live with you even though you want to get married. It's like, why buy the cow if the milk is free? Did I just call her a cow? No, I didn't mean that. By the way, relationships are built on trust and commitment. When you live together, there is no trust, there is no commitment, okay? And the statistics tell us that the failure rate is way up there. But we do the same thing with church. Yeah, I'll show up, I'll come, but I don't want to be a member. Listen, you need to be a member of a church, okay? When they got saved in the book of Acts, they were baptized, first step of obedience, and they were added unto them. Who's them? The church, which was the other people who had been saved and bonded together. And so you need to join the church. For our sake, for someone to join a church, you have to have been saved and you've had to have been baptized after salvation scripturally. Okay? So membership. How do I make a commitment? Join the church. Next, discipleship. Discipleship, now in a generic term, discipleship is becoming a disciple of Christ, growing in our faith and following him and making those commitments. Now, for our church, we have a discipleship class that will not make you that. But our discipleship class, we go through a book, which is basically these things, and we teach you what our church believes, why we do some of the things we do, and can answer some of your questions. Okay, and everybody who becomes a member should go through discipleship. You just talk to your adult Sunday school teacher. Some of you need to go through discipleship. And so that's a commitment to say, you know what, I'll go through discipleship. Next, giving. Okay, giving. So I knew you were going to get to that. It's one of the steps, all right? Pray for me. But give. God wants us to give. Now listen, I did not get taught that. I didn't. I went to church. I started going to church. I committed to Christ. They didn't even have an offering campaign or anything, but I'm like, I know Christians are supposed to tithe. I have no idea where I got that from because I never went to church in my life. maybe I watched some phony on television or something. I have no idea. I'm like, Christians tithe. I started doing it. And unlike most teenagers my age, I had a really good job. And I was making good money. Okay, just bought myself a new motorcycle. I mean, I had money. But you know what? I'm like, I'm supposed to give. And so I gave. So God wants us to give. So what's the commitment there? We start giving. Next, serving. What is serving? You call it getting a job. Say, oh, that's why I don't give. I don't have a job. Not that type of job. A job in the church. Once this is your church and you're a member, you find your place where you can serve. We have so many. Say, listen, if you have any musical ability at all, vocal ability, even if it's not that good, your goal ought to be, I want to be in the choir. If you can play an instrument, don't hide it from us. Some people hide it. Like, yeah, I play the jug. We don't want the jug. This isn't a Southern church, all right? You know. But if you have some type of musical ability, get involved. Maybe you take a shot in the nursery. Shot in the nursery. I didn't mean it like that. You take a turn in the nursery. You, whatever it is, our bus ministry. By the way, we could use more drivers for our buses. We have some drivers, but if someone's sick, we could get short. We need drivers. Those buses bring people into church every Sunday who would not normally be here. And by the way, our kids always did as they were teenagers growing up, they were always working on the bus route. Some of you teenagers might want to start doing that. But get involved. Find your place of service, whether it's small or whether it's big. What's a step of commitment? Help me find somewhere in the church I can serve. Get a job. And lastly, we call it soul winning. You want to call it sharing your faith or whatever, but it's sharing the gospel, the good news of how someone can go to heaven with those who don't know. By the way, let me say this. This is every Christian's responsibility. You say, but I don't know how to do it. Neither did I. Someone taught me. In fact, the matter is, after they taught me, they gave me a little outline. I taped it into a New Testament. When I would talk to people, I'd have to open, let me share with you. Yeah, I can tell you. I have to look at the inside because I didn't have it memorized. But you know what? I took a shot at it. By the way, let me say this. The step of commitment for that is saying, I will go with my church. That's the easiest way to go. Go out with us. We will put you with someone who will do the talking. And let me say this. You know the best time to start? Thank you, soul winning pastor, right there. Easter Sunday, you know why? For Easter, you say, well, this is heretical. Well, don't do it this way. But we are trying to get out invitations. So we just go by people's We go by their house or whatever, and we just invite them to church. Hey, we're having a big special Easter service. We would love to have you come. We're not doing anything else. Now, if they start talking to us, we can, of course, but we get their information and go back on them. Very simple. You ought to come out with us. Okay? If you've never done that, that's what you're supposed to do. Now, what am I saying? Man, I said a lot of stuff this morning. Let's do this. I need some ushers, Brother Pichardo, and we have some cards back here. I want to pass these out. I want you to think about this, and some of us need to make commitments. Some of us need to make commitments. We have a card. Listen, I can look at all these. I can look when I got saved. I know the day I got saved, Easter Sunday, 1978, God had been dealing with me for a long, long time. And I went to church, and they preached the gospel. I said, now's the time I'm going to commit myself to Jesus Christ. I'm going to trust him 100%. I did it. I remember the time after I started going to church, I'm like, I need to get baptized. I have not been baptized. I'm doing it tonight. And I told my son-in-law, I didn't tell my son-in-law. I'm younger than he is now. I told his dad. His dad worked in the baptistry. He would help people, and I went up there, Nick. And I went that Sunday night. I got baptized. Okay? I will attend adult Bible class. That was easy for me. I went to church and I said, you know what? I am going to go to every single service. Amen. I had no idea what it meant to grow as a Christian. I just thought, I know I need to go to church. So I started going Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night. They were Wednesday night, we're Thursday night. Membership. Okay, I needed to join the church. When I got baptized, they asked me if I wanted to join the church, and I knew I needed to join the church. I said, I'm doing it. And I joined the church. A serving, a giving. I did that. I don't even know why. I just started. I'm like, you know, like I'm supposed to give. So I started bringing money every week. I knew how much I made every week. Boom, started putting it in. Serving. I remember I was sitting in a service. I'd been to church for 6 months. I was growing. I'd sit in the front. I'd take notes every message. I was on fire. And the pastor got up and said, some of you have been here long enough. You need to start working. And I'm like, he's talking to me. So I started. I took over the tape ministry. I got in the bus ministry, started teaching Sunday school. I went to the, and I was 18 and single and didn't have a life, all right? I started going to the rest home. They had a rest home they would go preach at. I went every single Sunday. During the summer, I would help them in their, they had like a day school thing. Sunday night after the service, they needed to set up for the school. I'd go help them set up for the school. You name it, I did it, okay? If they wanted it done, I got in. Soul winning. The assistant pastor came to me. I'd been there a few months and said, come with me. I'm going to go out soul winning on Thursday. I want you to come with me. I said, I'll be there. He said, I'll pick you up. I'm like, you don't need to pick me up. I'll be there. He says, I'll pick you up. I said, I'll be there. And he was insistent, so I let him pick me up. I found out why. If he was picking me up, he knew I wouldn't back out. And I went with him that Thursday, and that was it. And then I went every Thursday after that by myself. I just showed up. And I'd go out on Saturdays. But I remember, there were steps of commitment. If you're going to grow, you need to take steps. If you're going to take steps, you need to commit. All right, let's pass these out quickly. I want you to look at these. I'm going to ask you to make a commitment. How can we ask you to commit if you're not willing to make a commitment? If I can get, Jessica, can you play a little bit while we pass these out? Now, I gave you a lot this morning. Where are you at? What step of commitment haven't you made? Now, I don't have salvation on there. We'll talk about that in a minute, but if you need to get saved, you need to talk to one of us, okay? Because that's a step, that's the first step we need to take. If you're here this morning and you've been saved and you've not been baptized, you need to get baptized ASAP. You will have a hard time taking real steps of growth if you're not listening to God and the very first thing he tells us to do. I am not going to have a dynamic marriage with my wife if I'm ashamed that she's my wife. Okay? You never been baptized? We can help you with that. By the way, I didn't put check off if you're interested in baptism. This year we put I will. I will. This is something between you and God. Maybe you've been, by the way, some of the things we've done here, maybe you did them in the past and you stopped, you need to re-up. Maybe you say, you know, I used to read my Bible. I've never read my Bible every day. I'm going to make a commitment to God. I'm going to read my Bible every day. Notice I didn't put how much. I don't want to guilt trip you like saying you got to read 27 chapters a day. I want you to get in it every day. If you get in it every day, you're going to be fine. Number three, there. The next, I will attend my adult Bible class. Some of us, we wonder why we come to church and we're a little bit distant because we don't have any Christian friends because we're just slipping in and out of service. Okay? Need to get to that adult Bible class. I will attend my adult Bible class. I will join the church. Some have been here a while and you kind of like it. You just don't want to make a commitment. You want to live with us, but you don't want to marry us. Okay? I'm not looking for another marriage partner, all right? But commit to the church. You say, I can't commit to this church. I don't like it. I would tell you this. Raul, I wish you would. It's important enough for you to be a member of a church that if you don't like our church, to find a church you can be a part of. Because God wants you to be a part of a church. I kind of like our church. I'm partial, so pray for me, all right? Some of you say, I will join the church. By the way, we'll help you with all of this. I will go through discipleship. Our discipleship class is on Thursday nights during our service. We come here on Thursday nights. When we start the teaching in the service here, the preaching in the service here, we dismiss you with someone from your class, and there's a book you go through. It's one-on-one. You can, or if it's couples, you go with another couple. You can ask questions. We just go through. There's no time limit. There's no speed thing there. And you'll learn. But if you're a member of our church, you need to go through discipleship. Next, giving. I will start giving. And we know God wants us to tithe. But we need to get started giving. Okay? You say, well, you're just after my money. I'm not after your money. If you don't want to give your money here, then find a church you can give your money. Because I didn't say to give. God did. Okay? I will start giving. I will serve in the ministry. Some of you are to the point, you're doing some of these things, but you're just sitting. You're not involved in anything. We can help you find, and not, by the way, our goal isn't to take away all your time, all right? Say, man, look at all that stuff you did. Listen, I was 18 and I had no life. I had a lot of free time. I worked a full-time job, but I had a lot of free time on my hand that I used to be partying, and I wasn't doing that anymore, so I started serving the Lord. Got on a bus route on Saturdays. I was in all of it. was great, okay? And then lastly, I will go soul winning. I'll start sharing my faith. The way you do that, to make sure you do it, is start going out with the church. Maybe you, look, Tuesday night, be here for the Easter door knocking, but I will do that. We'll take a second. I want you to fill this out. And if you're making any commitments, we will get you the information and help you to take that step. Let's bow our head and close our eyes for a minute, please, if we could.